Well, my brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be gathered with you again in our Father's house. As we gather, we know that this world is not a very peaceful place. Lots of dissension, lots of arguments, lots of fights, and lots of things going on out there. And if you wonder about what I'm talking about, just see politics in general right now. It's kind of disheartening, but at the same time, we are here to worship the Prince of Peace, the one who has come to make all things new and to bring us back together again. And so as we are gathered here, let us begin in the name that was spoken over us in our baptism, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. O Lord, you call us by name. We belong to you, and we are here at your bidding. Lord, I pray that you help us to set aside any worry or distraction we might have and just be present, to fix our eyes upon you, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and the scripture is from James 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of the horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. And when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing about?" he said. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Now this time I invite the children forward for a children's message.
You are first, and you're fast. I can't run like that anymore. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Hi. Wow, we have lots of kids. That is great. So I have a question for you, and I don't know if you're looking on the bulletin or even just the last thing that Pastor Josh read. Can someone tell me, what is prayer? Yes. That's okay. Yes.
It's when you pray to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's when you pray to Jesus. Sawyer? Wow. I don't know if you guys heard that. You want to say that again? You have to come near me because I can't repeat that because I'm getting old. Say that one more time.
Thanking God and giving thanks for what you have and also asking him for some stuff that you don't have and asking him to help you get over tough times. Talking to him.
Mm-hmm. Talking to him. Exactly. That is what prayer is. We, through God's invitation, he wants us to talk to him all the time. You know, we often will say, we'll pray during before we eat, or maybe before we go to bed, or before we get up. But really, God wants us to talk to him all the time, just like you and I are talking right now. And as Sawyer said, maybe it's about maybe things that are hard, and sometimes we don't even know what or how to pray, but we know the Holy Spirit actually will pray and talk to God for us, when we don't know exactly what to say, but God knows. And later on, we're going to say a prayer that Jesus actually taught us. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's just something we do all the time, and we just maybe kind of rush through it. But when we say the Lord's Prayer today, I hope that you and everyone sitting here, we actually take time to really meditate and think about the words that we're saying and the fact that we get to have a conversation with God every day. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you invite us to talk to you each and every day. Be with us and help us to live out your will in our lives. And all Jesus' children say, amen. All right. So thank you very much. And now it's time for the message. And I see the cross. So ages 4 to 4th grade, there's a special message just for you.
Good morning, my friends. Today's message is, it's a bit chaotic, isn't it? Jesus comes off the mountain of Transfiguration, and he's just had this amazing experience, and the disciples that were with him, Peter, James, and John, saw him light up and glow, and you know this is when Peter put his foot in his mouth again and said something about, can we build some tents so that we can live here for a while? And God the Father said, Peter, shh, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Don't talk. Listen. And Peter and James and John and Jesus are coming off the mountain, and they walk up to a fight. See, there was a dad who had a son who was possessed by an unclean spirit. And the form that the spirit took was it would take him and throw him on the ground violently and make him rigid, and he would foam at the mouth and grind his teeth, and even it wasn't just an inconvenient type thing either. I mean, as evil spirits go, it was destructive. Go figure, right? And so he would actually take the boy and try to kill him. It would throw him into water, throw him into fire. This father was desperate. His son had this unclean spirit, and it was going to be the end of him. At some point, he wouldn't be around. Nobody would be around. People wouldn't get to him fast enough, and the child would be killed. On top of that, this is no kind of life. I mean, a father wants his son to be healthy. He wants his son to have a chance to live out a life, to have children, to be able to support a family, to do all the things that a person is supposed to be able to do in this world, and he couldn't. And you know that coming and talking to an itinerant preacher was probably not the first thing that the father had tried, right? I mean, he probably went to all the reliable places first, the formally presented places. You know, he went to the leaders of the church, and that they weren't able to help. And he went to the doctors, and they weren't able to help. And he must have tried so many things to help his son, and nothing was going to work. And you could just imagine the frustration that he had and the questions he was asking. And you got to remember, back in those days, remember when people would bring people to Jesus and said, this blind man, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Right? So back then, it wasn't just a matter of my son has this evil spirit. There's this layer of guilt on top of it of, what did I do that he is tormented this way? And this father had to be just turning himself inside out, desperately looking for an answer for his son. And he hears about this Jesus character, and he hears that he's up in Galilee, and so he says, I'm going to go try it out. What do I have to lose at this point, right? I've tried everything. How can I not try this too? I've got to go. And he goes, and he finds some disciples. And you can just imagine how that conversation went. You know, where's Jesus? He's on the mountain. Well, when's he coming back? We don't know. Well, can you help my son? And the disciples have to be thinking, well, have they done this kind of thing before? I mean, yeah, Jesus sent them out, and they went out and they preached the good news, and they preached a message of repentance, and they were able to cast out demons and heal people. It was an amazing thing. But this time, it didn't work. Well, that has to be unnerving enough, both for the disciples and for this father. But now we also have another set of characters in this story, the scribes. Now, these are some of the religious leaders, so they think of them as the religious lawyers, that are standing right there. And the reason they're there is because they're trying to catch Jesus and his disciples up in something. They just are trying so hard to discredit them, to bring them down. Think of it like politics today. Anything you can say to bring down the other side is a good thing to say for your side, right? And this is kind of the way it was working. And so all of a sudden now the scribes are watching the disciples fail to help this poor kid, and they see it as a wonderful opportunity to try to discredit the disciples. So what kind of things would they say? Well, they'd say, well, obviously you're doing it wrong. You're following the wrong leader. Jesus isn't everything you think he is. I mean, all the things that they would say to the disciples. And of course, the disciples who are loyal to Jesus are going to not going to take that lion down. So they're going to stand up and get in the face of the scribes. And now we have the religious leaders of the people and Jesus' disciples fighting in front of this poor boy and his desperate father. Way to go. Everything is as it should be, right? And Jesus comes down from that mountaintop experience and walks into this. Can you imagine why Jesus might have been a little demoralized about that? You know, a little bit downer after the mountaintop. He comes down and he says, "What is going on?" And the father says, "Look, my son, he's possessed by this evil spirit, and it throws him on the ground and it does all the, and I brought him to you, but you weren't here. So the disciples tried to help him and they couldn't." If you can, have mercy on him and help him. Well, what do you think Jesus picks on? If, right? I mean, you can just imagine Jesus going, "What do you mean if? Do you see the stuff I've done? Do you know who I am? I mean, what you understand why I came? What are you talking about if?" And what's he really getting at? The thing is this. What he's questioning is he's poking at the father's faith. Now, let's talk about the father's faith. Does the father have the faith that Jesus wants him to have? Is his faith as firm and well informed as Jesus would care for it to be? If there was a model faith, that perfect image of exactly what it is Jesus wants us to have with him, that relationship Jesus wants us to have, is this father that example of perfect faith? No. But do you know what the father is? He's there. You got to remember, the father, this wasn't a happenstance type of a situation. It wasn't like the guy was walking down the road and bumped into Jesus' disciples. He had heard about Jesus, and he had traveled to get there. He had brought his son, who was so sick and had all these problems and was throwing himself into dangerous situations, and he took him out of the house, and he brought him with him to go find this Jesus character. And I have to ask you, is there some faith in that? I mean, just the fact that he was there, the fact that he came, and the fact that he went to this stranger and asked for help. But he asked for it honestly, if you can help. How many people had he been to before? Could any of them help? All of the people who promised hope and all of them let him down. At this point, I can imagine this guy is like thinking, "I have no idea what's going to work. If you can help, please help my son." And Jesus says, "Tell me. What do you mean if? Don't you know that anything is possible for those who believe?" The man's response is the most honest prayer I have ever heard in my entire life. It is that, you know, in the worship service, we always have two confessions, right? We just did one, which was confessing what's true about us and confessing our sin and how we have fallen short of God and receiving forgiveness. And the second confession happens after the sermon when we confess what is true about God. Well, he did both. He said, "Listen, I confess, I believe, I have faith." That was the good confession. Now, the bad confession is, "Help my unbelief." In other words, I know my faith isn't everything it should be. I know my faith isn't what it needs to be. I know my faith is not that ideal. I know my faith is not perfect. It's not mature. It's not informed. It's not confident. It's not any of those things that my faith should be. but I do believe. And the question is, was that enough for Jesus? Was that weak, insignificant, uncertain, malinformed faith enough for the Savior? Well, the next thing Jesus did was cast the demon out of his son. Why is that good news for you? Be honest. How's your faith? Is it staunch and true all the time? Is it absolutely confident? Is it informed in God's word and trusting in the promises of God? Do you know the promises of God in all the different situations in life? Exactly what God would want you to do and how God wants you to believe and what it is that God has promised? Are you confident in all of that? And do you stick to it without swerving in every single situation in your life? Or are you much more like this guy than you would like to believe? Or like to confess, where our faith is damaged, it's not always certain. We often wander from it and trust in other things. The disciples, oh my goodness, what a great example, right in the same text, right? It's as if God knows what he's doing here. All of a sudden, the disciples, you know, why were they not able to cast out this demon? Right? Why was it such a problem for them? They'd done it before. What's the big deal? Well, it's like littered all throughout the text. The disciples tried to do it and they couldn't. And later they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast out the demon? What's the problem? Who are they trusting in? Are they trusting in Jesus and in his power? Are they trusting in me? See, here's the way it works, is that, and you guys understand this, we've all been through this kind of an experience, right? Where in the beginning, we know we're not capable of this. Whatever it is that God lays in front of us, whatever task God gives us, right? He says, you, I have gifted for a purpose. I know it's not good enough because you're a mess, but that's okay. I'm giving you a purpose, and this is your role in life, and this is your job in ministry, and I want you to do this thing. Now, I know you're not good enough, but I'm good enough to use you in this position, and I will work through you, and things will happen because of me. You get this? And so it's like some guy that's absolutely terrified of speaking gets in front of a whole bunch of people and has to talk for God. This took a long time for me to get used to this idea. You understand? And I'm very aware when I'm up here, this is not about me. I am not so great. It is the God that stands behind me and speaks through me that makes this work. All right? And the thing is that the disciples, their faith got bent. In the beginning, they knew that they were speaking in Jesus' name when they cast out demons, that it was Jesus that was the driving force, that he was active, that he was the one that made it happen. And now all of a sudden in this context, they were trying to do it. Because after all, they'd done it so many times before, and it was like, I can do this. This is not a problem. Jesus, hold my beer. I've got this. Is this ever a good idea? We're never enough. We never leave God behind. We never shove him aside and try to take it on our own. And so the disciples, they did what all of us do. They get distracted. They take their mind off of Jesus. They stop focusing on him. And instead, they try to do it on their own. And does it fail? Guys, this passage is all about faith. It's about what faith is. It's about how our lives work. You know, Jesus receives the person with the weakest and most malformed faith. And then he moves us. He sends his Spirit into our life, and he gives us teaching. He gives us his word so that we know the promises of God, so that we know what to believe in. Then he sends his Spirit into us to help us to trust in that and have faith and confidence in that. And then he stays with us because he knows that our hearts wander. And that different things are going to try to take that dominant place in our life, and that we're going to start trusting in something else at absolutely any moment. And so what is the answer that Jesus gives us in all of this? Prayer. Here's the thing. The way to keep your mind on God and his will is to read his word and talk to him all the time. Because the one thing you can't do is ignore somebody who's standing right there. Well, I guess you can. And maybe we even do sometimes, but it's a lot harder. Okay? But to have the God who we are talking to, and to be talking to him about the situations that we're dealing with in life, that we are constantly remembering what our God has told us in his word and repeating it back to him, and you know, talking about those promises that he has made to us, it keeps us focused on him. It builds the relationship. How can I say? Do you have a very, very healthy and growing relationship with somebody that you never talk to? Well, why do you think I would work with God? Right? But that we would have that conversation with God that never stops, that we read his word, we study his word, we meditate on his word, we respond by talking to him and speaking the things that God has told us back to him so that it sinks into our hearts and our soul, that when we're struggling with a situation that we go to him so that we're getting his thoughts on it, not just our own. And that when we go into life, we go into life in a relationship with him giving us strength, speaking in his name, living in his name, doing all things serving him. And the God who is big enough to use broken tools, the one who is skillful enough to use things that shouldn't work and still make beautiful things, that God will work through us because he loves us that much and he is that good. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, thank you for receiving us, Lord, into this relationship with you, even with our bent and disturbed faith. Lord, I thank you for constantly calling us back into that relationship, Lord, that you define. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. Help us, Lord, to know you better. Help us to talk to you without stopping, Lord, so that in all circumstances, Lord, we can live out, Lord, that faith that you have put in us. Thank you for your great mercy. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine, bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is faithful. Consider all that he has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that he will never waters change. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still. Be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still.
Please stand. We profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, I thank You this day for the baptism of Christian Michael Jones that took place yesterday. I thank You for giving him life and rebirth in the waters of holy baptism. I pray that by Your Spirit You would guide him all the days of his life. Be with his parents as they seek to raise him up in the faith. Lord, I pray for those who are sick or injured or are recovering. Today we're especially mindful of Shirley Nelson, who we pray would heal, You would heal in accordance with Your will. We pray for Joe Schrader, who had a knee replacement last past week. I pray for his recovery, that it would be swift, and You give him patience. And Lord, I pray for Kim Becker, who continues to heal after her surgery. Continue to give her comfort and strength at this time. Lord, I pray for those who mourn the loss of Terry Ridenour. I pray that You give them comfort and strength and peace as they're understanding what life is like. And Lord, I pray for those who mourn the loss of Everett Olson, that You would send Your comforting spirit to be among them. Lord, at times we look to our own power and might to accomplish the things that You have given us to do. But the reality is that You have designed it so that we can only do these things with Your help, with Your guidance. We pray that You'd help us to set aside our pride and to turn to You in those times, those trials, those moments when only You can help us through, but You will help us through. And Lord, sometimes because of those times or because of other struggles in this life, in this sinful world that's in rebellion against You, Lord, our faith wavers. So Lord, I pray in those moments You'd help us to turn to You, to cling to You, to keep our eyes upon You. For You will raise us up, and You will be with us. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Just do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Glory, God is one.
Please stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Praise him above, ye heavens.
All right, have a seat quick. We have a few announcements today. First of all, reminder, this is actually Edna Mertz's birthday today, so please send her a card. She always worships with us from home, but it'd be nice to be able to remind her that we still are thinking of her and praying for her and wishing her a happy birthday. Club 456 meets today. It's for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. We encourage to invite people to come, you know, friends to come with and stuff, because it's an opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus. What? Edna's here. She's right 99% of the time, just in fairness, okay? All right, very good. Moving on. Thank you, my dear. Anyway, next week, Bible presentation next week, 1st through 3rd graders are going to receive their Bibles in church if you haven't received them already. If you have any questions about that, parents, talk to me or Lauren, and we'll square you away and get you ready. Suicide Prevention Walk is next week. If you want to volunteer for that, talk to Collar Momorito. And, one more thing. There's somebody in church today that hasn't been here for a while. They've been playing hooky for months. Jake and Jackie Langley are worshiping with us again for the very first time with their son, Liam. We've all been praying for Liam for all this time because he's been recovering from kidney cancer, but he's got a clean bill of health, and so can we pray about for them and just thank God for... Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so very much, Lord, for returning this wonderful family to our presence. Lord, we know they've been worshiping with us online, but it's just not the same as when they're here. Thank you, Lord, for helping Liam to overcome this cancer. Lord, thank you for being with them all and giving them strength. Thank you for making him healthy again, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to guard and protect that little one. Help him, Lord, to stay cancer-free. Thank you, Lord, so much. In your name we pray. Amen. Outstanding. And one last thing. Phil has to talk. Where's Phil Richardson? This is our president, in case you forget. Whenever you see him, say, Mr. President. It'll make him a little uncomfortable. It'll be kind of fun.
Chairman is just fine.
Chairman.
So, yes, what a blessing it is to have St. Mark's, to have a congregation like yourself and all the members we have. So I just wanted to say, you know, what a wonderful place we have here. What a wonderful light that we have for the community being a part of St. Mark's. This is going to be my last term. I served my 2 terms, so I will be getting off the board. I think Joan Salter is also. So there's openings. So by all means, when November meeting comes up, if you'd like to take a part in this, it's a wonderful thing to serve. I've learned a lot, and it's just a good feeling to be a part of the board and the decision-making processes that we do here at St. Mark's. So with that, having this wonderful place to come, there's also maintenance that we need to do at this place. I'm sure you've heard it before. We've talked about lights, and we finally have got our contract signed for the lights to be completed and refurbished. So we're going to do that. So that's a blessing. It does come with a pretty hefty bill, about $130,000. Yeah, we were all shocked. And there was actually higher quotes. So thank you for Greg and Pat for taking a part and looking at that contract. I just want to say thank you to those two individuals. Looking at all the details and everything, I'm so thankful for that. Thank you. So with that said, I'd like to present that to you, and if you'd like to put a special offering outside of your normal tithes and offerings, we're trying to maybe get a little board put up to see how much money we can raise to kind of refill that amount of money that we're going to spend. I think we spent already 60% of the total cost in getting it started, and there's more details to come on how they're going to do it, because we obviously need lights on for Sundays, unless we want to go back to candle service, which would be fine too, I guess. But so this is great. So just wanted to get that out there. If you wanted to put a special offering, if you want to put in the memo line that it's for lighting, and that would kind of differentiate normal tithes and offerings. So second thing is, you know, we as a community of St. Mark's, we have a lot of people, specific people who have been a part of it for a very long time. And so I'd like to commemorate a couple big achievements for a few of these wonderful people we have here. Shawn Stewart, she's celebrating her 15th year here at St. Mark's as part of our administration, as her secretary, keeping all the cats together. So that's, yes, thank you. Yeah, it's great. It's a blessing to have her here. So that's a big achievement for her. Lauren, you as well, yeah? Sean wasn't here today, so Lauren, if you want to come up. Lauren is celebrating her 20th year here as our DCE. And what a wonderful woman she has been to St. Mark's. Thank you so much. You know, teaching families and giving education on how to raise, you know, faith-bound families. It's so wonderful to have her. And also Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob has been here for a quarter of a century. 25 years, Pastor Bob. Thank you so much for all that you do. We know he does so much, especially, I mean, he's the gear guy. He's the gearhead. He can maintain almost everything within the church. So wonderful to have you. So with that said, I'd like to say a special prayer for them. God, you bring so many wonderful people into our lives, and it's wonderful to be able to celebrate these people and their big milestones that they have. You know, let's start with Sean being a part of the administration, keeping all the ministries in check and time frames in line. You can't ask for a better person to do that. So thank you, God, for bringing her to St. Mark's. Lauren bringing education to the families, to the ministries, and providing programs for children to learn of God and learn of the faith that we help develop in these children. And thank you for Pastor Bob bringing God's word to our congregation, sharing knowledge of you and of your love and grace that can be shown through St. Mark's. I want to say thank you also to the congregation, and I hope that we are reminded of these people and can help support them in what they do for St. Mark's. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. I want to give the kids a head start getting out of here. So if the kids heading off to Sunday school want to meet Lauren in the back of the church, we're going to give them a head start, and then I'll release all the rest of you. This is your chance. Look at them all run. That's awesome. All right, my friends, God's blessings on your week. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning. It is always a pleasure to worship God together.